Okay, today's daf is daf Chaf Aleph, and we'll start at the Mishnah on Chaf Amid Beis, beginning of the new parak. Frank Tana Helike Parak. Hayoshen tachat hamita basuka lo yatza yedei chovato. If somebody is sleeping underneath a bed, the assumption here, the bed is 10 tefachim high. If the bed is 10 tefachim high, as we'll see, then it creates an ohel. Actually, we saw this before. And since you're in another ohel, you're not in the sukkah, you're rather in the ohel that's defined by the underneath of the bed. Therefore, you're not yotze. Umar Rabbi Yehuda, noagima yinu shayinu yishanim tachat hamita. I don't know. I know that we always used to, when we were talmidim, we would sleep underneath the bed, if ne'azikinim, even though we were sitting there. I guess we started off listening to this year, but you know, I guess you got a tendency to fall asleep when you're under the bed. V'lo amru lana davar. They didn't say a thing. Now, we've seen before that, of course, we have the question of whether an ohel arai can actually be a chatzitza in an ohel kva. According to Rabbi Yehuda, basically, the sukkah subsumes the various smaller ohelim and arai ohelim that are within it. And we talked before whether that's dafka because it's underneath the bed and the bed isn't made to be an ohel over it, or whether it would even be in the middle of the bed. We came out that it really would make it a nafkamina. And that basically you're always in the sukkah even though you're in an ohel. The truth is very interesting that if it wouldn't be asara, it seemed that bechlala wouldn't be a problem. So that many of the double-decker situations, you had a double-decker bed, it should be no problem at all of sleeping in your double-decker while you're in the sukkah. Even though you're underneath another person on top of you. Omer Rabbi Shimon says, Rabbi Shimon, well, I can tell you, and also a Maisa, that makes it very clear that the way the Tanakhama said it was correct, and that basically you're not Yotze if you're sleeping under a bed. Because there was once a Maisa, Batavi Avdashur Ben Gamliel, and he was an Eved, of course, wasn't Chayiv in a Sukkah, and he was sleeping underneath the bed in the Sukkah. Points Rabbi Gamliel to Tavi and tells to the Zakenim, there, Re'item Tavi Avdish Utamit Chacham. My servant Tavi is a big Talmud Chacham, so he knows that Avodim Bepturim in a Sukkah. And therefore, since he knows that he isn't Chayiv, that's why he's sleeping under the bed. Elifid Arkenu points out Rabbi Shimon, but along the way, we now discover, Lamadnu, Shayashen Tachat Asukah, Lo Amita, Lo Yatzei Yedei Chavado. We see that Rabbi Gamliel and the Zakenim, just in the context of this conversation, took for granted that he's not Yotze. I mean, obviously, this whole thing has been humorously, but nonetheless, it's still basically teaching us something along the way. Sichas Talmidei Chachamim. Says the Gemara, but wait, I mean, Aleka Asara, if a normal bed isn't 10 tefachim high above the ground, if you're sleeping under it, it's less than 10 tefachim high, it certainly shouldn't be considered to be a place that is an ohel in terms of living, and why would it be mevatel the sukkah? Tirgum Shmuel ben Mita Asara. So as we saw earlier, I mean, we had back before on Daf Yud, that according to Shmuel works it out. The Mishnah must be talking about a case where it is 10 tefachim high, and it's there and only there that we have the problem of being inside of another ohel while you're in your sukkah. Tanasa. Echad echor shechirulu humayim, o shratzim, o shechalato malachet, v'chein mitbach avanim, v'chein sohar shel korot, ma'ahil al hatuma. There are many cases where you have a naturally formed type of chalal, which has a tefach, so you can have a hole that's hollowed out by water that was flowing by, or that you had an animal that had dug out, or you had a collapse of various salts in the ground that were washed out, leaving a hole. And you could also have, of course, a pile of stones, where there's a chalal tefach between some of the stones. Or you could have a pile of wood where you were going to build. You take now the long korot of the wood, boards, and very often between them, if they're not one right up against the other, they're staggered to allow the air to go around them. You end up with chalal tefach underneath them. So all of these cases would be ma'ala latumah. So if you have, let's say, kezayis mace that's underneath in one of these holes, you also have some kli that's under the same hole, so then it would be makal batumah from the mace that's underneath the same ohel. Now, Rabbi Yehuda here also argues, and he says a very big chiddush. But in these cases, above, some of them are not made by human hands, and they're just natural results, results of animal activity. Such an oil is surprisingly not an oil. So, in other words, the oil, according to Rabbi, is not defined by the fact of the tefach, but of the fact that it was constructed as an oil. My time, Rabbi Yehuda, where in the world would he get such a thing from, that an oil is dependent on the construction of a person? Yolif oil mi mishkan. He learned the din of the word oil from the Mishkan. That says by the din of Tumas HaOsot, Torah Ta'adam, Giyamud Ba'oil. But in this whole parsha of building a Mishkan, it says Vayifros et ha'oil ala Mishkan. So over there, the person who's doing it, talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, who spreads out the oil, Sumala halan bidei adam, just like over there, the Mishkan, we're saying that oil that was spread out bidei adam, Havkan bidei adam. So the Torah refers to oil in the context of Zos HaTorah Adam Kimud Ba'ol, it's also talking about the same type of oil. V'Rabbanan, V'Rabbanan who hold and make so nafkamina, they say, look, you know how many times it says the word oil in the parsha of oil ameis? So one of them comes to be marbet, basically, that the oil is indeed metame, even though it's not bidei adam. Even though they agree essentially that there is a gzera shava that compares them, but they say that's coming to tell me that it has to be an ohel, as the Gemara says in Shabbos and Bamei Madlikim, that only an ohel of Pishtan is the ohel itself. But those are dinim that have nothing to do with specifically the overall halachas of oil. Asks the Gemara, Savar of Yehuda, kol ohel shena asui bidei adam, hein ohel. Is that really true that it has to be made by human agency? Raminu, doesn't it say legabi the din of where we know that because the chachamim were very, very makbid on the dinim of srefa spora aduma, and a person who was going to be mamale the mayim or was involved in any level, they were very makbid, should be completely rochak vituma. It's curious that the reason that they were very makbid was because they had to be very makel. The reason they had to be very mako was because the tzedukim were claiming that you couldn't use a tful yom, and they wanted to be much shal tzedukim. So the Bedavka used someone that was tamei, but because and was a tful yom, but because of that they were very nisrachik from any other element of tum, and that's called the malot, the special milas that they made when it came to bora aduma. And one of those things that they, one of the things, the crazy things that they did in order to create this complete separation between Pora Aduma and any level of Tumah Meis, is that they made Chatzerot Ayub Nuyot Yerushalayim Al Gavei HaSela. They organized special courtyards that were built on top of pure natural balsa. So it was never, it had never been dug into before, and there's no way that there would be a kever under that area. In Tachtem, Chalal Tefach, and despite that, what they did is that they built these areas, they hollowed out underneath them, vaults. In other words, so that each, they had a kippah, so that the entire chutzer was supported by an oil underneath it, and that would be a chalal, so to have a chalal tefach, basically, to prevent just in the outside chance that somehow there was something underneath them. Ibn Kever at home, maybe there was some ancient grave over there that nobody ever heard of. And then they would bring Nashim Ubarot, they would bring pregnant women who were paid to live there, and they would give birth there. And those children would grow there in those chatzeros, and whenever Megadlu B'neim Sham L'Para, so that when it would be time to fill up the Mechatas, at the time that they were burning the Para, so these children were never tamei meis in their lives, and they would use these children to be mamale the mayim. How did they do that? Yumivim shvarim. They had these big, very large oxen. Yagabeim latot, and then they put these doors over the back of them, so that the door would serve as an ohel now over any kever that the ox was walking over. Vitinokot yashvim agabeim. The kids would sit on the doors, because such 11 be a day, and they would be holding kalim, they're not makabal tuma, because things that are made out of stone aren't mekabel tuma. And they would then go from this chatzeres to the Shiloach stream. Yigyu l'Shiloach. Once they came to the Shiloach, yordu l'toch ha'mayim. So the kids would then get off of the torrents, go into the Mayana Shiloach, umil'un, and they would go ahead and they would fill up these stone cups. And this Tana holds that you can't fill it using a rope or something, because he holds that the lashon of to be mamala means to be mamala with your own hands. That's how Rashi understands it. Tosfos holds that isn't really a machlokas. The question over here is that the one who holds that they actually went in physically into the water instead of lowering it to avoid any further exposure was because they weren't choshesh for coming into contact with tuma for such a short span of time, just long enough to go ahead and to put the cup into the water. But in any event, they would fill it up, and then go back on top of the broad doors, and they would sit back down. Whereas Rabbi Yossi, Aymer, Rabbi Yossi says, no, they would not get off of those doors, but rather they would lower the containers with a rope into the water, and then they would be mamale, because even for that, we're choshesh because of kevratom. Now, in the Brice, it says, V'tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo yomivin latot. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, this is accurate, but not 100% accurate, because they did not use any kind of doors on the back of these oxen. What they used were these very large oxen, were big enough themselves to be chotzets, if nei atuma. The problem is that the shvarim usually are naturally occurring shvarim, and if that's the case, nobody built the shvarim to be Frankenstein's, to be chetzes b'nei atuma. So hashvarim de'o she'no asu b'dei adamu, a shore is not a human-made contraption. And nonetheless, Katani, it says right here b'feresh, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo yumevin latot el shvarim. It says, but dafka, they did not use the doors. Apparently, he relies, Rabbi Yehuda, on the stomach of the shor to be the oh, how could that be? Ki asar v'dim yom Rabbi Elazar mode Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is made that there is a shear, that if you've got a shear of a chalal, which is not only a tefach, but it's kimelo egrof, it's very large shear. Once it's the shear of this giant guy, whose name was, they called him the watermelon. So that was the Ben Avatiach. So they had that watermelon size fist, that then Archinani, he would be made that that's considered to be a shear that would be an oil, even Shaloah Yedeyadam. And that's kosher enough, even though it was made by itself. Indeed, the Brice it says that made a Rabbi Yehuda, that it's considered to be a proper oil, and that it's called cholol, where you have a case bashkifin. Shkifin are these large, very large rocks that fell, and they leave now a very large hole underneath. There, nikikas la'im, and also things that have been hollowed out underneath various large stones. Where over there, even though they're naturally occurring hollows, they're considered to be perfectly valid, and even the shitato perfectly valid, oh else. So now, in other words, what that means is that the reason that Rabbi Huda is saying they did not bring latot is because, at least what we thought, is because it's not considered to be a proper oil because it isn't being made as an oil. Ask the Gemara, Hare Delet. Sin, if you put a door down on top of the animal, Ishbakame egrofim, that's awfully high, so it's got plenty of space, and yet for some reason, Katani Rebiro Meloi Mevin Latot El Shvarim, apparently holding that that's not called the Derech of Asiyevanoa. And if that's the case, then the Shvarim themselves is for sure not being made in the normal way of making an oil. Omer Abaye, that's not the point. The Delet is perfectly good oil. Because, as you pointed out, the size of a delet, even if it wouldn't be a normal way to make an oil, to take a delet and put it on a shor, the reason that they didn't bring latot is not that you can't use the latot, but rather shlohutz rachula vid latot. All the Rebbe is saying is, what is added by bringing a delet? So, okay, according to Tanakhama, you want us to have this extra addition, and I don't even want to rely on a single oil, I put an extra oil up there to stick out. Rabbi Yehuda says, you don't have to be so makbid. Rava says, no. You bedafka don't bring a delet. Lo ayum mevim dlatot kol ikar. Why is this? Related to shadaito shotinok gasa alav. If the kid is holding on for dear life on a shore, and he's scared to death, so now he's not going to stick out his head to look around at what's going on, or hold his hand out and say, look, ma, no hands. And meanwhile, his hand stuck out over in the side of the shore, and he was perhaps hit by a beam of oil amet that was coming from the side of the road. So in order to make sure that he's terrified, we don't put him on the door. Once he's got the door, he's starting to feel a little bit more secure. But if he's secure, he's liable to get tamei. And therefore, since Taito Shatino Gasa Allah, he always takes advantage of a situation, a kid, that gives him some sense of security. What we're really afraid of is that he'll go and become tamei begeverat at home, not realizing that there may be a kever out there. So Adarabbah says, Rebbe, it's a bigger chumrah to let him be without the oil, because that without the delet is the oil, because that way he's less likely to become tamei. Aye, as far as the shore is concerned, it's inu asui bidei adam. That's true, but it's plenty of growth in high, and therefore doesn't have to be made. Tanika Vasidu Rava, and in fact we have a brisa that tells us, like Rava, that Rebbe Yehuda was saying Bedafka not to bring a delet, and not that it's not necessary to bring a delet. Because it says here in the brisa, Rebbe Yehuda, man, well, you may be in Dlatot Kolikar, Bedafka, we don't want to bring a delet. What then do we do? We bring these Egyptian shvarim, shikresoteyem rechavod, a very wide belly, and they'll be mafsik. But you know, kot yoshvim agavehem, kosot shalavim yedehem, and then yigio l'shiloach, they come to the shiloach stream, yodu, meluotam, yoshvulim agavehem, and the whole time they go back up then, sit on the back, there's no chashash, that they'll become tummy. That's the Gemara. Okay, now that you've determined that once there's more than the size of the tefach, and you have the size of this egg roll, so now, if that's the case, why does Rebbe Yehuda say in our Mishnah that there's no problem of sitting under a bed in a sukkah? Because in other words, initially we thought, okay, the mitah is not considered to be the way in which you make an olam. But now you're telling me that once it's already the shear of an egg roll, that it doesn't really matter. So if that's the case, it's a mita as more than an egg roll. It's come egg roll feet from the bottom until the actual place where the mattress is. And nonetheless, it says in the Mishnah, so if that's the case, that Rabbi Yehuda holds that once the oil is the size of an egg roll for more, even if it wasn't made as an oil, it's considered to be an oil. So then here too, even if there's something you don't like about the way that it's made, but it should certainly be an oil simply because of its raw size. And if that's the case, it would seem that Rebbe Yehuda is saying that even if it is the size of an egg roll, it's not going to be called an oil unless it's made according to specifications. Answers the Gemara, Shinei Mita has a completely different issue. The bed is not made as an oil. A bed is ho'il agaba asuya. Since a bed is made for the top of the bed, the central point of the bed is to sleep on the bed, it's not made in order to be an oil over something else. And therefore, even though normally, if it has the size of an egg roll, it's considered to be an oil even if it's not made for an oil, but that's only where it was made at least to be used
under it in that way. But if it wasn't even meaning to be used at all, then that's even worse. It's not going to be considered to be an ohel at all. Therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, that a mita cannot be a chatzitza, because a person who's under it in the sukkah, because the mita is not made for its under part at all. Ask the Gemara. And now you're saying that what Rabbi Yehuda is actually saying is that a mita is not considered to be a chatzitza in the sukkah, because it's meant to be used on its top and not on its bottom. Now, the shvarim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, are considered to be a proper chatzitza between the ground and the child on top of it. As far as I know, those tops of the shore are certainly were not manufactured in the sky in order to be a covering over something else. What they are for is their legabana suyin. They are made basically as their own, they're their own skin. They're not there for something underneath. Actually, we look at these shvarim, that they are suitable to be created oil over something that's underneath them. Because, basically, when the sun is up there and it's really hot, the meaning of a roa is to go to sleep underneath the shade of the shore. Or if it's pouring outside, also it goes to sleep under the shielding of the shore and to prevent it from getting soaked, which is why Rabbi Yehuda says that that's not similar to a bed. And indeed, that would be a chatzitza between the tinok and the ground. Shank in the bed, where the bed is made a dafka for its top and not for its bottom.
Wait, says the Gemara, Yehochi, now that you're telling me that the underneath of the shore is used by the Ro'eh to protect himself from the sun and from the rain, and that's the reason they're considered to be valid Olim, so then you could say the same thing about a Mitanami. Mitanami, the bed as well, Olim, Ginamin, Olim, Vesantamim, Tachtea. The bed is always used universally. People put their shoes and their slippers underneath the bed. And by keeping it under the bed, basically protects it a little bit from this dust and so on, people stepping on it. So then it is served. It should be a regular mita, a regular oil. And once that's true, we have to now change our mind. We can no longer say that the reason that the shore is considered to no oil is because it's used under it. And rather, El Amar Rava, the reason that the shore is considered to be a proper chatzitza between itself and between the ground, that is, and the child that's on top, is because shani shvarim hovel v'asuyim lagin al bnei me'ayim shalem. A shore is indeed the whole point of the structure of the shore's body, is that it should be an ohel for its own contents. We see that the Torah uses that formulation of the nature of a yitzira, because it says oru basar tal bisheni. Look at this lashon, schach, exactly what we're looking for. The lashon of schach means that the atzamot and gidim, so that the structures of the body, the skeletal structures, and the various tendons and so on, are considered to be basically a schach, a protection on the body. Or we could say another approach. We could say that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, a mita would be considered to be an ohel. And that again is because it's the larger size, it's greater than the size of the egg roof, the watermelon egg roof, and nonetheless, it's not considered to be a hefsek in the sukkah. And the reason, I meant to meet that, did I say the dalet? I meant to meet if I did. And the reason that it's mutter to sleep under the dalet is this is Rabbi Yerushita. Rabbi Yudashita, remember back at the beginning of the Masechta where he says that a sukkah can be higher than 20 amot is because he holds a sukkah dirat kvabiyan. A sukkah is basically not considered to be aray. It has roi even for permanent kviut, and therefore, for all intents and purposes, we view it the way we would view a house. And the mita, on the other hand, is certainly not something that's permanently in place. That's a dirat aray. the sukkah being an olkva. So basically what we have is a sukkah that subsumes any temporary type structure within it, in contemporary in the sense of comparative to the sukkah itself, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda has no problem with sleeping underneath it because you're still in the sukkah. Now the question is that if the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda is because all right is not mevatel lo kva, then Rabbi Shimon or Rabbi Shimon diyama nami sukkah dirat kva bina. Recall, we know we had learned out earlier that Rabbi Shimon, he was the one who said you need to have four walls. And the Gemara had compared earlier, back on Dav Zayin, all of the shitas that held sukkahs dirat kva. You know, one of them was Rabbi Shimon, because he's the one that said you need an additional mechitza, and then it comes along the halacha, tells us the din of that fourth wall. But he didn't hold that you could just have two walls plus one wall of a tefach. So if that's the case, Rabbi Shimon holds that sukkah dirat kva. So, and nonetheless, he's saying over here, he's the one that brings the raya from the case of Tavi Avdei, that he holds an Ohel Arai is nonetheless Mevata Le'ol Kva, and he's telling you, Yoshin Tachas Amita Lo Yatzei Deichol Vato, that's what he learns out of the words of Rabbi Gamliel and the conversation. Answers the Gemara, that indeed, the din is that it is Kva, and the Sukkah can be a Sukkah. A sukkah's kva as opposed to the arayut of the mita. But nonetheless, in this issue, this question of whether an oil arayut is mevat or no kva, that they argue about. They're not arguing about whether the sukkah is kva. Marsav, Rabbi Shimon holds that osi oil arayut mevat or no kva. And therefore, you can't sleep underneath the bed in the sukkah. Whereas Rabbi Yudasav, osi oil arayut mevat or no kva. And therefore it follows from his shita, but of course it doesn't necessarily mean that anybody who holds that a sukkah is a dearest kva would hold that you could sleep under a bed in the sukkah. Now in the Mishnah it says, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Ma'aseh betavi avdo, and so on. Tanya, take a look in the Braita. Amar Rabbi Shimon, misichato, shurim gamliel amadu shnei dvorim. From this sicha, sicha is a sense of a casual conversation, we learn two things. First of all, amadu shavoni p'tur min asukkah. And lamadnu shayashen tachat amita lo yatzei deyechol vato. So meanwhile, he's telling us there's no chiyav of an eved in a sukkah, and he's also telling us that you will not be yotzei your chiyav by sleeping under a bed. Why does he use such a sort of a light word to refer to Talmud Chacham's sicha from his casual comment? Well, let him say midvarav shorom gamliel, which gives it a sense of chashivas, his words. Coming to tell me, Milta Agavurcha Kamashma, it's coming to tell me something by the way. Namely, that a Talmud Chacham may be talking just humorously and kidding around and so on. But every word that he says is basically meant to be as a limud, can be used as a limud despite the fact that we said casually. Ki Yodi Omer Ravacha Barada. Like Ravacha's, Ravadabar, some say was Ravacha Barada in the name of Ravunun Omerab. How do you know that even casual speech, which they don't have an intention specifically of teaching you something, that too requires learning and understanding? Because it says in Tehillim that there it's referring to Talmud Chacham and Tzaddik as being Petorosu Yega Yom Avalayla. So it says over there, Valeu Lo Yibo. Alehu means even the leaves, and it's not the pre. Just the alim, those who never wither. They're telling me it doesn't go for waste. And even the things that normally in a regular tree that isn't producing, take a look at the alim as being something like, okay, it's here today, it falls tomorrow, we don't look at it as being important. From a Talmud Chacham, even the weakest parts, the most meaningless parts, will never wither, just as the trees in Gan Eden themselves, the trees in Lothlorien, and those trees will never drop back. That's what Legalists promised. They will rebuild Minas Tirith. We're going to give you trees. Those trees will never wither, and the leaves will never drop. Zakte Yedek Mishnah, Asomech Sukkato B'Kra'i Hamita Kshira. So here you simply take a bed frame, which now sticks up. It's got a headboard and a board at the end and so on. And you put your schach over it. And basically, your sukkah is now a bed. So if it's tall enough, you've got plenty of room in there, move around and so on. Seems perfectly okay, and indeed the Tanakhama says kshera. For some reason, Rabbi Yudah Omer, imeini yecholah lamod bifnei atzma psula, that if the schach would not be able to stand on its own without the actual bed boards that are supporting the schach, then the sukkah is possible for some reason. What would possibly be the reason that possible the sukkah? Of course, the first thing that strikes us is that we're using a double that's makabel tuma, since it's an entire bed we've already seen before is makabel tuma. But there may be another possibility. My time with Rabbi Yehuda. What is the logic of Rabbi Yehuda? The logic of Rabbi Yehuda is a machlokas between Rabbi Zain and Rabbi Bar Mama. We don't know who says what, but we do know Chanamar once says Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning is, since the sukkah basically is on a kli, so it's not considered to be a thing that has any type of kviyut at all. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda, he holds that sukkah dirat kvabian. There's an element of kviyut that is even required in the sukkah. So according to him, this sukkah is basically just too temporary to be called a sukkah, whereas the other one, again, either Reb Zera or Reb Abba Bar Mama says, that Reb Yehuda's reasoning is, that since the mita is makabel tuma, so it says, if you are actually nisachech, the davra makabel tuma, because the entire sukkah is dependent, all of the schach is dependent now on the davra that's makabel tuma to hold it up. Maybe now, what practical difference would there be between the two approaches to Reb Yehuda's logic? The difference would be like this. Kigon shina'at shipudin shel barzel. So let's say you took metal spits and you stuck them into the ground. Now, these are makabel tuma. You go ahead and you put schach over them. If the problem is ein la keva, there's nothing that's not kavua. You just made a rather strange type of construction here, but you did it in a way that's very kavua. And therefore would be kosher. Who cares if it's makabel tuma? Where's the man diyamar? If they shem amida b'davara makabel tuma, amida b'davara makabel tuma. And in this case, the entire sukkah is being based on shpudin. And shpudin, of course, reminded that's makabel tuma. So maybe that is Rabbi Yehuda's logic. Om Rabbaya lo shanu, where do we say that according to Rabbi Yehuda's puzzle? If you use the mita, it's dafka b'samach. That's only if the schach is actually dependent on the bed. Not just that it's over the bed, but that it's lying on the bed. But suppose you were sichech agabe amita. Let's say that you took a little frame, and you put them directly, the frame you put directly on the ground around the bed. So now even though the mita itself, the headboard and the sideboards, are the actual walls of the sukkah, that's not a problem. That would be kshera. Why? According to both reasonings. Because, my time, if the problem is the ein lakva, because a bed is movable, okay, but over here, the schach itself does have a kva. Even though maybe the walls don't have a kva, but remember that the din of a sukkah is always defined by the schach, not by the walls. And since the schach is kavua, so over here, the Rabbi Yehuda would have no objection to this sukkah as a dirat kva. Lamandi Omar, if the reason is in this case, he's not putting the schach directly on the davar mekabel tuma, which is the bed frame. In this case, he's putting it, on the contrary, he's putting it directly on top of the structure that he has in the ground. And all he has is he's using the bed as the frame for the walling. So whether you hold of Rabbi Zera or the old of Rabbi Abba Bar Mamo, in this case, definitely, says Abaya, Rabbi Yehuda would be meida, that the sukkah would be kosher. And I just want to talk about the psak halacha over here, about the question of maimid bedavar makabel tuma. First of all, for some reason, it seems clear, in the Rif and other places, the Ravid, the Ramban, the Ritva, everybody is mashma, that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, just about. And the Rosh indeed says that that's because Rabbi Yehuda really wasn't arguing in the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda was coming to be mafarish the Chachamim and saying, "Yimeina yecholah lamod bifnei atzma." So then, indeed, it would be a problem. Mi'ikar hadin, we paskin that the problem here is because ein la keva, not because he's ma'amid b'davar that is mekabel tuma. Because of that, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that even though lechatchila we should be machmir and not have a dover that's mekabel tuma, but lemaisa if b'diavad he makes a sukkah with a dover that's mekabel tuma and he's maimid, he paskins like those shitas who hold that the maimid b'dover mekabel tuma is not a problem. In which case, is a very beautiful tshuva also by Chacham Ben Tzion HaPashur Zechrein Elvrocha, that certainly if somebody is was invited to a sukkah and sees that it's a sukkah, that indeed is mu'umad by something that's mekabel tuma, that it's far more kedai to eat in that sukkah than to insult the person by telling him that a sukkah isn't kosher. Mi'ikar adin, the sukkah is kosher. But the question over here is, if we're going to be machmir, there's a couple of things that we need to discuss. The mashma'ut is over here that even if you stuck the, like the case over here in the Gemara, if you took the spits that are made out of metal, you stuck them into the ground, it would still be considered to be a maimit, which apparently means that even though it's now mechubel karka, it's still a maimit. Now, there are those who hold that once it's really mechubel karka and it becomes now a general way in which walls are generally made, that there would be no hakpada, because people are not normally mesachech with the way that they build a wall. They would not take a wall and put it on their roof. By the same token, there are those who say that even if you would use, let's say, nails to nail down the schach, since nails themselves wouldn't be used as sichruch directly, so there would be no gezer over here of maimid. Because after all, the reason, at least the way the Ravid learns, the reason that a maimid is possible is because of a gezerah, that if we allow you to be maimid with it, so then you may come to be mesachich with it. So according to that, if it's something that is not generally used for sichuch, there would not be a problem. And therefore, the Ran paskins, it's okay to be mesachich on walls, and because of that, the modern Peskim Remekil for nails, as I mentioned. The problem is that according to Rashi, he seems to be saying that the sichuch, because it's being supported by Dover Mekabel Tuma, it's as if the sichuch itself is a Dover Mekabel Tuma, which case would be really a problem of the Raisa, and not simply Gzeir Darabonah. We wouldn't be able to make all of these Keshbrenas if we're going to be Chayish for this problem. And there's also another fascinating diak which Chazanich makes, that because over here the Ravid brings that there was a minig that people would use at the top of the walls, they would use actual cane, because that itself was roid for sichuch, and that way the schach wouldn't be standing on a dover on a mekabel tuma, that we see from here, says the Chazon Ish, because there was a very simple thing to do. All they had to do was put a piece of wood on top of the thing that is holding up, that is mekabel tuma. So it is mashma that even if the maimid is supporting something else, which in turn is supporting the schach, which is a maimid of a maimid, that it's also going to be puzzle if it's mekabel tuma, because otherwise it seems absurd. All they needed to do was put a little stick down on top of the metal frame. Those who are not chayish for the Chazon Ish do precisely that. And that way they say, look, I'm not being maimid a schach. And there are those, by the way, who remark that it shouldn't be going the same direction as the frame. In other words, you put it in the opposite direction. That way the schach is not seen to be held up by the frame at all. So that, but according to Chazon Ish, even a maimid of a maimid, we would be machmir. By the way, it's interesting that Reb Chaim Soloveitchik also was makbid in the same way that the Chazon Ish was, on a maimid to maimid. But in any event, there you have a brief synopsis of the issues that very much are part of today's contemporary shailas on the sukkah. I also want to mention that it's not, according to almost everybody, if there is a problem over here of a maimid, it's not specifically a maimid bedover mekabel tuma. It would be a maimid with anything that would be possible for sichuch. So in other words, if it would be a psul, let's say gzeras tikra. So even, according to Rashi, it's a d'oraisa, we'd have to be machmir there too. But for some reason, let's say it's mekabel tuma, but you're being maimed with a dover that's mechubel lekarka. You're being maimed with something that's not gidule karka. So whatever the problem would be, would also be included in this overall gezeira of a maimed, either according to Rashi or like the Ravid. So it shouldn't, even though the Maisa, mostly the problem comes up in terms of Kabbalah's Tuma. But let's recognize that you can get into all kinds of other problems as well. Anyway, that was a brief synopsis, and we'll be talking to you again tomorrow. Love you all. Laila Tov, and have a nice break fest.